It's time for Trackside Tonight with Randy Dyke, Joe Linebarrier, and Billy Osberg. Trackside Tonight is brought to you by Daytona Dodge and Chrysler, DeLand Motorsports, Mopar Speed Shop, Volusia Speedway Park, and by Valvoline. To get in on the action, call 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. Now, here's Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Well, good evening, everybody. I'm Randy Dye, and it's just me and Mark in here tonight, our producer. And so, me, Mark, and all of you who are listening to the program, so we encourage you to participate. Again, as always, the real purpose of our program is to give you an opportunity to tell us what you're thinking relative to racing. Most of the time, I guess we sometimes digress and talk about other things, but mostly it's about racing. You know, at any level, whether it be the Cup Series, the Nationwide Series, the Truck Series, certainly we talk an awful lot about the local racing programs and just all of the things related to racing. Mark, you have the microphone turned on?
I do.
There we go. Good. So tonight it's going to be you and I and our guests, you know, our phone guests. We do have some folks, I think, that are going to call from New Smyrna Speedway, and all of you that are listening. It's interesting. We took a week off NASCAR after four races. There's an open date in the schedule, and I had some people tell me today, I guess we probably talk about racing most days, but today it was one of those days when, you know, boy, it was just, I think that was such a bad idea for NASCAR to be off this weekend, was some of the comments that I heard. People know that when we... you know, we start to prepare for our show. We actually prepare probably a week before, but today, you know, I get comments, and I said, you know, there probably aren't too many people who really feel like it was a bad idea for NASCAR to be off. You know, I think the one of the reasons that open date is in the schedule is because they've had, you know, they had four races. And weather can be suspect. I mean, they start in Daytona, then, you know, off across the country to California, back to Las Vegas, and then all the way back to the East Coast in Atlanta. And I have been scheduled to go to Atlanta Motor Speedway to see a race when that race was snowed out. So to have an open date following that race, where they could have moved the schedule around at any given time to accommodate weather, I don't think is a surprise, and not necessarily a bad idea.
No, it was kind of weird though, because it's only four races, like you said, and already they're taking a day off. You know.
Well, I think the big difference between NASCAR, you know, what NASCAR does and what a lot of different other sports do, you know, a lot of sports play indoors. They play
right.
Obviously, all the basketball is, much of football is. And football is less affected by, at least the game going on is less affected by bad weather. It's too early for baseball. You know, I don't know. I don't think it's a bad idea to have a spot in the schedule for whatever contingency they might need. You know, it could be any number of things. But weather is always suspect this time of the year. So you know, it is odd. I mean, there wasn't anything to debate and discuss, you know, from the weekend. Although
right.
Some of the penalties, and we're going to talk about some of that here in a little bit. But we got
one of the great debaters on the air right now.
Oh, you're kidding! Right out of the chute, you're here, huh?
Why not?
Yeah, my goodness. You're going to try to rescue me early tonight? Is that the plan?
Why not? I mean, all three of them were off. I mean, come on, you know, give me something for racing.
Now wait a minute.
You mean wait a minute?
Okay, you're going to start fussing because NASCAR. Well, I guess what it was. You weren't able to take your nap because every time we talk, you know, you tell me that the NASCAR race is your sedative to go to sleep.
I know. I mean,
so is that what
I
you're
say?
Complaining
been
about?
A couple this year that didn't put me to sleep. But outside of that, huh? I'm getting so I like the truck and the Nationwide better. There's more action in them. I don't fall asleep in either one of them.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I heard a statistic, I think it was a week ago, that year over year, since its beginning, the Craftsman, well, now it's the Camping World Truck Series, is the only major NASCAR division whose television ratings year over year since its beginning have continued to increase. They've yet to flatline.
Yeah.
They've yet to plateau. So, and certainly have yet to decline. Now, a lot of people will say there's some reasons for that aside from the actual competition. One of them is ESPN.
Oh, yeah.
And as you know, NASCAR's greatest growth period in its history
was with ESPN.
Was when ESPN was doing the races.
Sure, right. Bob, I can remember Bob Jenkins calling.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know how far back I go with racing, but that includes ESPN. When they first came aboard, I'm going, hey, wow. Mm. It's a great sports station. I don't care. Just like I watched John Force yesterday. I watched my NHRA.
You know, I didn't get to do that, and I got to admit, I didn't have the time today to get on the Internet and check out what happened. So why don't you give us the NHRA update?
Ouch. You had to ask, didn't you?
Okay.
My memory's bad. All I know is Force started out well, but he didn't end up too well.
You know, the simple fact that Force is still doing it is a to me. I'm amazed. You know,
that wreck that he had, it's amazing of a lot of things.
Well, the wreck that he had and the tragedy just prior to that.
Yeah, yeah.
That he had with that team. And,
the kid, Eric.
Medley.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, right.
Yeah, the young kid.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that hurt.
Well, I mean, and that's another one of those situations where if you go back to that event, there's been an awful lot of...
tragedies.
Well, tragedies, but there's been an awful lot of safety discussion, innovation around the car, and Force has been the...
Death since Coletta was killed, though.
And that, too. Well, that's a track situation, you know.
Yeah.
And we go back to the... When Coletta was killed, I spent a lot of time, and I don't know how many people really agreed with me out there. But you know, if you go look at the average age of a drag race driver, of the tracks that they compete on.
Oh yeah, they're old.
They're old,
sure.
And they're not built. Very few of them are built to accommodate these speeds that the cars are carrying. You know,
I wonder how that one in Humpy built is going to be doing.
Well, I think, you know, Humpy is on the cutting edge of everything. I mean, he's on the cutting edge of promoting. He's on the cutting edge of safety.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the cutting edge of fan value and the entertainment
right.
experience. So I mean, I haven't looked, but I would have to say it'll be consistent with Humpy's personality. I just think you'll see him do it right. But that's one. Okay, the vast majority of the drag race tracks around this country were built in a time when cars were going at the maximum 200 mile an hour.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Now they blow by 200 mile an hour. They're
330
mile an hour.
Qualifying yesterday was 308, 309.
Right, and it's an expectation that these tracks can contain the race cars in the event of an accident.
Yeah,
you know they're fortunate, and I'm not trying to pick on NHRA. I'm just pointing out a fact. But they're fortunate that as fast as these cars have gotten, that there haven't been some serious issues with the fans.
Yeah,
because they're not that far away. Not given the velocity and the power. And it is unfortunate. It's very unfortunate that some of these drivers have lost their lives. And I think in many cases, the Coletta one for sure, was avoidable with a better track configuration. No question about it.
Yeah. And look at the one Shirley Maldoni had years ago. Woo. Went to a pack on a fire.
Well,
Gwynn's back, Daryl Gwynn. I mean, come on.
Every year at the at the Barrett Jackson auction, they do a big deal for the Daryl Gwynn Foundation.
Oh yeah, he's involved in a lot of stuff.
But nonetheless, it's another one of those tragedies.
Yeah, it is.
That you know, I guess unfortunately it's like NASCAR. A lot of the things that have happened, safety innovation, both yeah. on the racetrack,
yeah.
You know, the racetrack itself, mm-hmm. inside the race car, pit road, you know, all these things that are actually most of those innovations have occurred after some tragedy.
Right.
And it's a shame.
Going down those drag strips, I wonder if these types of barriers would do any good, or if we'd throw the hitting car into the opponent, to the other car. It would force it over that way.
Well, you know, that's an interesting statement. I mean, I think you'd have to talk to some engineers and see. But I will say one thing. One thing that I think is definitely a problem is how close those two cars are to one another.
Oh, they are very close. I've never been to one of them. I'd like to get to Gator Nationals this next time they come into Florida, but I don't know when it is, and I'm not even sure if I can get there.
It's a year from now.
No. They have two a year in Gainesville, my dear.
Well, the other one's called something else, but this one was the Gator National.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I think that's an issue. I think they could do something about that, and I think that the run out beyond the start finish line needs to be extensive.
Yeah.
It needs to
very
be a long
so.
Way.
Well, that's what killed Coletta.
Right. If you don't have enough room to build a race car, you know, the runout should be more than double that of the distance that they race. And if you don't have enough room to do it, then you don't race.
I mean,
you got to go find a venue that was. You can't continue to compromise, people's. Safety for
and
lack of space to build a racetrack.
And what I don't see is any new safety stuff coming out for the fires. Somebody had a fire yesterday. I can't remember who it was now. And oh man, that thing just went right up. Whoa!
You know the problem you have.
And John Forth, I don't know. He manages what scores one a year just about.
Well, the problem you have those cars. Basically bombs. I mean, they are.
I know the dragsters themselves are the nitros.
Well,
are most of them nitro now.
Oh yeah, they're alcohol and nitrous and all this stuff that it's
highly flammable. Let's face it.
Well, it's an explosion. This isn't just a flame like you build a campfire.
Oh, I
this
know.
Is an explosion.
Yes, they went right up quick. I'm going, holy mother guards, this guy gonna get out.
And that's the problem. You know, they continue to push the envelope, and fire is something that's it's very difficult to contain, and it's very difficult to prepare for. You know, you've got fire suits and you've got onboard equipment, but it's
just getting to it if it gets too intense.
The reaction.
Yeah.
The trouble is in these kinds of race cars, the fire is so hot,
sure,
and so fast to burn. That it doesn't take much, you know, you don't need much lapse in the time that it starts and the time that somebody finally gets to it, and a lot of damage has occurred.
Yeah, that's the one thing I have not heard about an NHRA at all, is anything they're trying to develop for protecting the driver, a quick escape or anything like that.
Well, I think, you know, I mean,
way to put a massive set of brakes on that vehicle.
You have to fundamentally believe that NHRA, you know, they know that they got to keep their competitors safe because, you know, that's the future of the sport. They have to have the competitors. And if it gets to a point where safety doesn't matter, there'll be some guys who'd still compete. Don't misunderstand me. There'll be people out there who would compete no matter what. If you told them to put shorts on and no socks, no gloves, and no helmet, some of them would do it.
Oh, yeah.
But, I think that the NHRA completely understands the value of safety. Nobody wants to continue to see tragedy after tragedy.
No, but I was just wondering because I haven't heard anything on NHRA.
Well, I mean, you gotta have a fundamental belief that they're doing all they can to keep their competitors and their fans safe.
Have you found out yet why NASCAR doesn't use their Great Escape hatch?
Well, you know, I was
have
listening
you inquired
to...
from me? No.
I listened to Randy LaJoy over the weekend.
Oh, really?
He's a great proponent of two different methods, two different escape opportunities, exit opportunities from the race car. And he believes wholeheartedly in the ability, the need to have two different ways to get out of the race car, be it an escape hatch or through the driver's side window, whatever the case may be. He believes that, and he's the first guy in the last several years who finally said what I've been saying. You know, I left the sport from a driver's perspective 4 years ago because I had gotten hurt, and then I come back, and I there's so many things that are different, including the seat, by the way, which is one of the greatest differences. And on one hand, I look at the seat, I get in it as a driver from a comfort standpoint, meaning comfortable, not like our easy chair, but comfortable.
Comfortable to drive for 2 or 3 hours on the racetrack.
Do I feel good about being in there? Yeah, I really feel good about being in there. The problem I have is I don't know how the heck to get out. You know,
It's form fitted, right?
Well, there's so many different levels of support for you that...
Yeah, but it's basically designed to fit Randy Dye in it.
Oh, no doubt.
Randy Dye is in, right?
No, that's true. But what I'm trying to say is that there's also so many different areas of support, including head and neck area, that it's great when you're in the car and you're driving and you can... And quite honestly, from my standpoint, it creates less fatigue because you can rely on the seat to hold you up and hold you in place, and you're not fighting against the G-forces and all that. I like how the seat feels when I'm driving the race car at speed. The problem I don't like is how the heck to get out of it.
Does it burn you when you're in there all those couple, you know, the whole car gets hot in there?
Sure.
Does a seat get hot, you know, and start burning your, you know?
Everything gets hot.
Everything gets hot.
But no, I have never experienced, I guess the closest thing to getting hot or burnt would be my foot.
Your foot.
But that was...
Didn't Ricky Rudd do that not too long ago?
Lots of guys have done that. Yeah. And it just, part of that is rerouting the exhaust. The other part of it is insulating that area. Right where the driver's feet happen to sit. But that's only one time for me. So that was in a long race. It was a long race. Plus there was an awful lot of cautions, and it was a hot day. And it was not just the combination of the exhaust, but it was the heat of the track and the metal. And it was just one of those things. But
you trying to say you were totally pooped when it was?
Yeah,
over?
I was. That would be true too. Yep.
Oh. Got a bit of news that you must have read about, I think, in your newspaper. We got Jeff Burton going to take a role on General Hospital this week.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Whatever. I guess first thing I'd say about it is if Jeff Burton likes that, that's great.
He said he wouldn't turn it down, but he wouldn't trade it for his regular job just yet either.
Well, it's a neat experience for Jeff Burton to be able to do it. He wouldn't have been able to do it if he hadn't had the success in NASCAR.
Oh, yeah.
Is it an opportunity to grow the sport?
Absolutely.
An opinion. Mark thinks so. What do you think, Gene?
Why not?
Well, you got all those women fans. I mean, I know there's a lot of women that like racing, but now you're going to be able to see them on General Hospital.
Well, let's talk about that. If you're appealing, and I don't mean this in any negative way to Jeff Burton, but if you're appealing to all the quote-unquote women fans who watch General Hospital, is there not somebody other than Jeff Burton who might be a better candidate?
No, that depends on what you're looking for in a guy.
Well, just...
It's like, what are you guys looking for in a woman, huh? Different strokes of different folks, different tastes and all that stuff.
You're not going to trap me.
Chicken.
Yeah. Any promotion of the sport where it has an opportunity to grow is great. I think that's good. I'm going to talk about something a little bit later that I don't think is...
I think what amazes most people that aren't familiar, especially women, with racing, is the size of these guys that handle these 34-pound monsters. They're tiny.
Well,
they're shrimps.
It works better.
A few of them.
It
works
better.
Only got a couple of them left now that are big guys. The rest of them are all little guys.
Well, it works better if the driver is a little bit smaller in.
Yeah, but you don't generally think of it if you're new to racing. you wouldn't dream of a skinny guy like Dale Earnhardt, who is not at all. I swear to God, that guy doesn't weigh 100 pounds. He is so tiny.
Who? Junior?
Dale Earnhardt.
Or senior?
No, junior. I've met senior wasn't very big either.
No, none of them are very big. I mean, you have
that's what I'm saying.
Six.
I mean, you know, the big ones were what? Michael Walter was a big boy.
Yeah,
Jimmy Spencer.
Oh God, well, there's a monster.
No,
I don't know how he got in the sky, let alone anything else.
He's not he's short, but he was in his later stages of his career. He was wide. Yeah.
Yeah, he very wide. Michael Walter's a big guy.
Buddy Baker was big.
Yeah.
Richard Petty was big.
Who?
Richard Petty.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking tall. Richard Petty's always been skinny.
Skinny.
Kyle Petty is tall.
Like Dale Jarrett.
Tall?
But he's got a little bit of weight on him, too. Yet his father didn't look that tall.
Ned Jarrett was a pretty tall guy.
Yeah, he was like 5'11".
He's tall, but he doesn't have the weight that his son has.
Well, Dale Jarrett didn't have the weight that he has now a few years ago, either.
Yeah, you don't see the big guy, so, I mean, it doesn't surprise me because I've been around it too many years. I know the size of these dudes.
Well,
you get the big guys, you get the little guys.
If you look at where a lot of those guys are coming from today, a lot of them are coming from the open wheel ranks, and you're not going to see many big sprint car drivers. I'll tell you.
Well, Tony Stewart's the exception. He's a little chubby.
He's chubby, but he's short. And once upon a time, he was a little guy.
I haven't met Tony, I don't think.
Hey, listen, Gene, we got to take a break, and if you listen to the program, you might even think about calling us back when I bring up some other stuff.
Oh, okay.
All right?
I'll be listening.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Our numbers are 239-0033, 800-927-0033. We'll be back in just about 3 minutes.
Stay tuned.
This is Bo Trivett with Wireless Wizard, Volusia County's largest authorized retailer of AT&T. For the last few months, you've heard me talk about wireless phones a lot. I wanted to make sure that all of you know that even though the name says Wireless Wizard, we're actually AT&T telecommunications experts. That means that we can handle almost all of your telecommunications needs. In addition to all AT&T wireless products, we also have home phone service, high-speed internet, and advanced TV from AT&T. Over the last decade, the cable industry has raised their rates 3 times faster than the rate of inflation. That's almost 10% per year that your cable rate goes up. I don't know about you, but I think it's nuts. They hope you haven't noticed. Can you imagine if everything went up 10% per year? It's crazy. Stop the madness. Let Wireless Wizard handle your high-speed internet through AT&T and bundle it with your home phone service from the nation's largest telecommunications provider, AT&T. Don't let the cable company keep raising your rates. Fight back. Call 756-3311 for the nearest Wireless Wizard location. That's 756-3311, 756-3311 to speak to the telecommunications experts at Wireless Wizard, authorized retailer of AT&T.
Interstate Battery of Daytona Beach wants you to be prepared. If you need a battery, we have it. Automotive, marine, commercial, motorcycle, golf cart, cellular, generator, UPS backup, garage remotes, AA, AAA, quadruple A, CD, gel batteries, and the list goes on. Interstate Battery of Daytona Beach, 806 Mason Avenue, has hard-to-find batteries. Interstate Battery of Daytona Beach has free battery testing. Call 386-252-5909 or stop by 806 Mason Avenue. Interstate Battery of Daytona Beach wants you to be prepared.
If you have something to buy, sell, or trade, there's a new website in town you need to know about, DaytonaFreeMarket.com. It's free, all local, and loaded with just about every category you can imagine. With the economy the way it is, it makes sense now more than ever to buy, sell, or trade at DaytonaFreeMarket.com. Don't pay for a newspaper classified. It only runs for a few days and makes selling an expensive exercise. Use the free classifieds right here in Daytona Beach. It's DaytonaFreeMarket.com. That's DaytonaFreeMarket.com.
The Port Orange Family Days Community Trust, along with media partners Black Crow Event Group and Rue and Zifra, present Kids Days 2009, Thursday, March 19th through Sunday, March 22nd. This family-friendly festival offers a daily carnival, Friday night outdoor filming of Madagascar 2, Saturday Community Expo featuring Radio Disney, recording artist Chris Villa, and balloon rides. All activities are free but for the carnival and balloon rides, which have been family-friendly priced. So head to Kids Days 2009 at the Port Orange City Center, starting Thursday, March 19th, ending Sunday, March 22nd. Don't miss your chance to create cards and send messages to the troops. Media sponsored by Rue and Zifra, Metro PCS, and GEICO. Also sponsored by the Daytona Beach News Journal, Bright House Networks, City of Port Orange, and this radio station. For more information and activity times, call 386-506-5935 or visit familydays.com.
Call Trackside tonight at 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. And now back to Trackside tonight with Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Well, welcome back to Trackside tonight. I'm Randy Dye.
And Mark.
There you go. Okay, Joe and Billy are both, they've got things they're doing tonight, so we're going in here alone, and certainly appreciate Jean's calling, and I know she's listening. And if you're out there listening and you have something you want to talk about relative to racing, give us a call at 239-0033, 800-927-0033. Be happy to talk to you about it, share our ideas, and let you share yours. We were talking a little bit with Gene there about the Jeff Burton, appearance on General Hospital, I believe it is, and the idea of promoting NASCAR to another maybe untapped. Although I think if you go back and look over the last several years, the fan base grew primarily because of its the attention that women gave it.
Right.
Typically, over the years prior, it was a hardcore male, you know, certain demographic. And then its explosive growth was really mostly to women.
Right.
You saw all kinds of different products, Tide being one that comes to mind quickly with Darrell Waltrip that was obviously geared toward, the female more than the male. Clorox, you can go on and on and on about a lot of different products that are very typical or stereotypical more toward women. In the past, if you go back, predate that, a lot of the sponsors were car dealerships, petroleum companies, tool companies, a lot of beer. Doesn't mean women don't drink beer, but you know, primarily skewed to the male demographic. All the sponsors that you went and you saw were very, very masculine. Tobacco,
right?
You know, very much a male-directed presence. It grew to the female side, and then it grew even to the kids. You know, and they had a very close balance there because NASCAR had to be very careful of some of those products that were, shouldn't be consumed by anybody, really, but certainly by those under the age of 18. But you started to get Cheerios.
Right.
And Terry Labonte had Kellogg's and
Betty Crocker.
So you've got a lot of different, that's a General Mills company. But you've got essentially now in NASCAR, really, all the products that are advertised, they appeal to all kinds of different people, male, female, young, old.
The whole family.
The whole family. You got the AAA Auto Club. That was one. I mean, there's just, you can go down through there and you can figure out that it's pretty much across the board.
Right.
We had the Army, the Navy, the Marines. I mean, all just a real wide variety of sponsors, and I think the sport grew because it was now popular to the whole country.
Yeah, but now you see that they're not. It used to be considered a redneck sport. It's not really a redneck sport anymore. You look at the guys like Johnson and Jeff Gordon. I hate to use this word, but the pretty boy. The Hollywood type. These guys are kind of the Hollywood type now, and that appeals to a lot of women.
Well, I think so. I don't know whether, I'm not 100% sure if this move with Jeff Burton is just for fun or if it's part of the bigger picture. There's one, though, that I want to talk about that's got me just completely fired up, off the chart. I cannot believe we're doing this. I have no...
Uh-oh.
No ability to comprehend why Why NASCAR, and I don't, first off, that's probably inappropriate. Why Bruton Smith is, in my opinion, digressing so badly. You know, Bruton Smith and Humpy Wheeler were a great team. They were the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis of racing, as far as I was concerned. And ultimately, they've even had a Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis type falling out.
Right.
But you go to, now here we go to the All-Star race, the end of May, and the honorary race director for that race has been named, and it's Ric Flair, the nature boy, Ric Flair. Now, I happened to have met Ric Flair one time by accident at a hotel in Atlanta several years ago. I don't have anything against Ric Flair. I have nothing against the guys that participate in that arena. Those guys are athletes.
Oh, yeah.
There's no doubt about it. They're athletes. They also are actors.
Right.
And they're great entertainers. But to me, connecting the two in any way, shape, or form is totally unacceptable. I mean, that is a throwback. I don't see at all what NASCAR, what this Lowe's Motor Speedway, what that event, what there can be gained by sharing a NASCAR venue, a platform with this individual. And again, this is not personal. This is about what Ric Flair did for a living, what he participated in. I have no axe to grind with Ric Flair or Hulk Hogan. I had one of my heroes when I was growing up was Bruno Sammartino. I'm sure most people out there listening won't even know who the heck Bruno Sammartino is. But I watched it all. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I went and saw him. But my goodness, this is NASCAR racing, and any connection, it just really blows my mind that when we've got a sport that has, you know, the outside world still views it sometimes a lot of them with a wry eye. They're not real. That's not accepted
right.
by a lot of the regular sports world. It's just hard for me to comprehend that this would happen. I mean, I think it's worse than if they had asked Jose Canseco, you know, or, you know, Jose Canseco who's did all the steroids and drugs as he was playing and or Barry Bonds, or, you know, I mean, I just think it really blows the image of the guys in the sport. It lends itself to me that NASCAR, the racing, is a lot of hype and potentially a lot of baloney. And there are people out there who believe that anyway. And all they've done by having Ric Flair in this position, And it's a baloney position. You have no authority. But it almost says, yay, folks, you're right. This is a bunch of garbage. And I have a hard time with it. I have a real hard time with it.
Yeah, I can understand
that. I'll tell you what I wouldn't have a hard time with. If you wanted to put up a ring in the middle of the racetrack during pre-race festivities and you wanted to have the world championship, you know, have at it. I mean, that's entertainment. That's something that Humpy Wheeler and Bruton Smith, you know, that wouldn't surprise me a bit. But to actually give, you know, some recognition, I think it's distasteful and I think it's wrong. I don't know what, you know, if there's anybody out there that's listening and has an opinion on that matter, call me and let's talk about it. But I'm really disappointed in the choice. I don't get it. I don't see any added value to the event, to the participants, to the sponsors. I don't see any value there at all.
Maybe they'll set up a ring during the All-Star.
No, I mean, I don't believe that's going to happen. I don't think. And if it would, it'd be contrived and a bunch of baloney, too. So, I guess that's my soapbox for the weekend. You know, this is my soapbox for Monday night. But I don't know. I'm trying to comprehend it. Maybe whoever's calling in will tell me why it's a good idea. I want to hear. Go ahead. You got somebody for me?
Yeah, we got Joe online.
Okay. You gotta get him turned on there. Joe? Uh-oh.
Call back, Joe.
Joe probably isn't calling about that, but I'm not going to let him off the hook. If he calls back, we're going to talk about it for a minute. I haven't read anything from anybody anywhere that says that this is a good idea. And I haven't heard anybody within the sport who has any degree of knowledge that said anything positive about it. It's just one of those things. I think most people are in a state of shock. So, we'll see. Joe's a promoter, so maybe Joe, is that you?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I know you're going to call me. You're calling me for a different reason, but I want to ask you this question. I just spent the last, 5 minutes fussing about the. I don't know if you heard that Ric Flair was named the honorary race director for the All-Star race at Lowe's Motor Speedway in Charlotte at the end of May. Now, you know who Ric Flair is?
Yeah, the wrestler. He's probably one of the most famous wrestlers in
the
history of the sport. I met him I ran into him when I was living in Charlotte. He's at the Charlotte airport, and he was picking up his kid. I mean, he's a cool guy.
I said the same thing. I ran into him by accident in Atlanta one time at a hotel, and I enjoyed the exchange. I mean, we talked for a few minutes. It was kind of funny.
He's the nature boy.
The nature boy. Okay. But here's my argument. And I'm asking you because you're the promoter. Okay. You put your promoter hat on. Here's my opinion. I think we spent years and years and years and years trying to make NASCAR credible. Okay, trying to make it believable, and it is, trying to make it appealing to every demographic, and we spent a lot of time talking about that, every demographic that's out there, and get away from its, I don't want to say get away from its roots, but expand its appeal, okay, let's say it that way. And now we attach this personality to obviously an entertainment source that is not credible. They're athletes. They're in great shape. They do a lot. I mean, they're really put on a heck of a show, but it's all predetermined who, what, when, and where is going to win. And I don't think that it makes any sense to have Ric Flair a part of any NASCAR event.
Well, is his role what's his role again? Is he the Grand Marshal of the race, or what's his role?
They're calling him the honorary race director.
Okay.
Which means when you've attached the word honorary to anything, it means you have no authority. It's in name only. And no, I mean, that's not trying to be a, poo-poo, but that's the truth. The fact is he going to have a real significant role in anything that happens? No, probably not, but it's significant enough to me that he's involved in any way, shape, or form.
Well, what's going to happen is your anti-NASCAR or told-you-so, media are going to say, every time you say that you're not a Southern sport anymore, then why would you have a Southern good old boy Ric Flair be such associated with your event?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly my point. I mean, it's all the people who have criticized NASCAR over the years. Boy, you talk about giving them something to fire up about now.
Well, and more so, Randy, if it would have been just one of Charlotte Motor Speedway's race where he was the Grand Marshal or the honorary starter, but really, I look at the All-Star game, the All-Star event, which is like the All-Star game of all the other sports, that's truly a national event, and you're really trying to appeal more to one-offs than really diehards, and you're right. I think the media, I think the anti-NASCAR media are going to have a field day with that.
You know what? There's been people that say things that like, you know, when as long as they're talking about you, it's good. Well, I don't know. I mean,
I disagree with that.
Yeah, I do too.
I think that because you develop a reputation. I'm not really big on fighting and the racetracks and where I was in a position to make the final decision. Fighting was real simple. You know, you fight, you're gone. And I said, I don't care if you're the driver or whatever you are. And that was when I was a general manager of like 6 or 7 racetracks that I operated in. You know, you could ask the Blewett family of, you know, which, you know, they're a rough and tough bunch in New Jersey. And I got tossed into a New Jersey situation where, hey, those guys are running the roost. And I said, that's it. There ain't going to be no more fighting. And they didn't fight because they knew if they fought, they weren't going to race. And I don't know. Some people say, well, that's going to sell tickets. But I think if you're trying to appeal to the, you know, if you're trying to make it a family sport, I just don't believe fighting. There's a place in any sports for fighting if you're trying to be a true family sport.
Well, I got you. I asked you to call me, and I want to give you the opportunity to talk about what it is that you want to talk about. So what we got going on?
Yeah, we're really excited about this, Randy. We're doing the first annual Southeast Volusia Chamber of Commerce Pack the Track Night, and people say, well, what does that mean? Well, we're trying to get a bunch of people in there. We realize this is a very, very tough economy right now. So what I've been doing for the last seven days is I've been calling businesses, and mostly in New Smyrna and Edgewater area, and ask them to buy 3 ticket packages. One is 25 tickets, $25, 50 tickets, $50, and the other package is 100 tickets for $100, and you get, you know, 2 VIP passes for up in the suite and all that kind of stuff. And right now I got about 30 businesses, you know, biting, and I got about 1,500 tickets sold, and our goal is to try to sell, you know, around 3,000 tickets. But the opportunity to give people an opportunity to come out to that speedway that have never been there because, hey, here's a ticket. Come on and experience the product. And, that's my biggest challenge. I think it's just like, you know, your business, Randy. It's hard to sell a car unless you got someone, you know, on your property or at least looking at your product. And it's the same thing with us. For us to grow our business, we got to get more people, I call the one-offs, to experience our product and say, you know what, hey, this is cool. I'm not saying you're going to come back every week, but maybe 2 or 3 times a year you might come out there and say, listen, let's go out there and have some fun at New Smyrna Speedway.
Well, you know, one of the things that I said, and I, you know, Joe, we've been involved in lots of discussions. I spent a lot of time talking with Robert, and I believe that New Smyrna Speedway is a family entertainment opportunity. It's a racetrack. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to, you know, have an argument of semantics and spin it a different way. But it is an opportunity. And I say that because I grew up going to a racetrack when I was little, and it was intended to be a family entertainment. And it was. The family went. We had a good time. And you know, you look at New Smyrna Speedway, there's a lot going on out there. There's a playground out there for kids. The restrooms are probably some of the cleanest I've ever been at any racetrack anywhere. They got good food. You know, there's a good competition. There's enough different grandstands that if you don't like to sit where somebody might smoke or have a beer, you can go someplace else and sit, and it's a good seat no matter what. You interact the fans with the drivers at the beginning of the night before the races start. You're now doing an autograph session so that they can get down there, the kids can experience it. One of the things that's part of the program that's not there on the Saturday night is the Friday night Little New Smyrna Speedway with the quarter midgets. So that's a place for the kids to start. So I think it's safe to say that you guys understand families. In fact, one of the other things, any kid that's 11 years old or younger, you give that ticket away. That doesn't cost the parents anything.
And again, for free. And that's been a policy of Robert's for a long time. One of the things that we're really concentrating this year on, Randy, is, you know, we realized last year, you know, after the schedule was set, that it was very hard to get the show done in a timely manner because we were racing, you know, anywhere from, you know, 6 to 8 divisions a night. So this year we cut back to basically running 5 divisions and also running the autograph session before we start racing. And Friday night at Orlando Speed World, we started the racing at, what, it was at 8:10. We were done by, I think it was 10:15, and we started the racing off Saturday night at 7:36, and we were done actually at 9:46. So you know, minus any really bad wrecks out there. And it's given us the time that one of the things Robert challenged me today at our staff meeting. He said, okay, now, you know, you got enough time to take 15 minutes and do some fun stuff in the program like bike races or do a tug-of-war contest between maybe the late model drivers versus the super stock drivers or do a tire rolling contest or do a watermelon eating contest, ice cream eating contest, hot dog eating contest, you know, a one-foot-legged race in the grass or,
yeah,
you know, doing...
Not on that racetrack.
Yeah, doing all funny kind of stuff where, you know, like my son says, have a hot wing eating contest. Yeah.
Well,
and, you know, do all that fun stuff where, you know, it's hard to do that fun stuff, you know, when all of a sudden, you know, we're making the program run to midnight, but now we have enough time to do that. That'll, you know, everybody will enjoy that. And for the person that doesn't enjoy that, it's a great time to get up, go to the bathroom, or go down to the concession stand, get something to eat, and come back, and then take a little rest, and then we're back racing.
You know, about a year and a half ago, maybe longer than that now, I came up with a little phrase that it's not really mine. I'm sure somebody said it before me. But in my commercials now, you hear me say at the end of every commercial, we won't waste your time or money. And, you know, I think that resonates with everybody. You know, nobody wants to go anywhere. I don't care where it is, and have their time wasted or their money wasted. You know, it's a matter of respect. When you have people, fans, guests, really, those people are your guests coming to that racetrack. And when they're coming and they're paying for a ticket, it's your responsibility to give them their money's worth and get them and have them have a good time, be excited, and want to come back. If you blow that opportunity, if you keep them there, you know, there's no value in keeping a family out with kids who were 11 years old and younger who got in free until midnight. Now, that's a nightmare. That is not a fun time. That's a nightmare. The kids are going to get cranky. Mom and dad are going to start to fuss at each other. They're going to be shot for the next day. It's just bad all the way around. So concluding a program, you know, by, as you say, before 10 o'clock, I mean, I wouldn't guarantee
well,
that.
Well, my argument's always been this, and, you know, if you could, to me, if you could watch the movie in 2 hours, 2.5 hours, or 3 hours, why would you want to watch the movie for 3 hours when you could watch it in 2 hours? Because, let's face it, this is a different... The culture or the people, to me, this is different than 20 years ago. When 20 years ago, people didn't have a problem staying there for 5 hours. And they would go, they'd watch racing on Friday night, Saturday night, and they were praying there was a race somewhere on Sunday to go to. Now, God forbid, if you can get people to come out once a week, you're doing good.
Well, it's the same thing is true, though, what we said earlier when we were talking about the NASCAR thing. You will not make that business successful if you appeal only to the hardcore race fan. You know, I'll tell you what, you can be assured, if you have a race there every Saturday night, you will have hardcore race fans there every Saturday night. But that is not going to make the deal work.
It's well, let's take Big NASCAR.
Right.
Big NASCAR, they have changed their business model because they know to be able to grow their sport, to get the kind of numbers that they need to get the big money, they couldn't just rely on the Southern hardcore stock car racing fan. They had to expand the sport, and guess what? Did they ruffle a lot of feathers when they did that? They sure did. But guess what? It took them from getting ratings from a 2.5 on a cable network to getting a 5 or a 6 on a network station.
Well, and it took the sport from where it was to being a multi-billion-dollar industry, and no question they've done a good job. But, you know, the challenge for them now is to sustain that and figure out a way to grow it yet again. But, Joe, let's go back to that. Pack the track night. Talk about it one more time, and then we're going to let you
yeah, if anybody's interested, we're doing, you know, ticket pack, just 25 tickets, $25, 50 tickets, $50, and $100. You get 100 tickets, and you also get 2 hospitality passes. And another thing we're doing for business is, let's just say you don't really, you say, okay, I can't use 100 tickets. I can only use 50. Well, buy 50, and then I'll take the other 50 and give them some schools. Right now, we're working with Sam Sewell Academy. You know, give the kids tickets so they can have their mom and dads come to the races. Because, you know, like right now, this economy stuff, you know, a lot of people can't afford to take their kids out. Well, guess what? Now, we're not only are the kids going for free, we're also giving the parents free tickets to take their kids. So,
well,
you know, it's all about getting new people to come out and experience this sport.
if there's a business out there that's listening, you call the phone number 427-4129 and you ask for Joe. Is that right?
Yes, sir, Randy.
Okay. Joe, thanks for joining
us. Thanks, Randy. Appreciate the time.
Okay, buddy. We'll see you. All right. I think we've had somebody waiting a long time. John, are you there?
He's gone.
Oh, he's gone. Okay. All right. Well, maybe he'll call back now that we're done with the call. But, you know, I asked Joe. It was interesting. I didn't tell Joe we were going to talk about the Ric Flair thing. But, you know, he's a promoter, and I think he gets what I'm talking about. I don't know if you were paying attention, but basically Joe's telling everybody that he's got this. You can buy a ticket to the new Smyrna Speedway for $1.
Right.
He's doing it mostly with businesses around this Pack the Track night with the Southeast Chamber, Southeast Volusia Chamber. But what a deal!
Oh yeah, I would do that if I could ever get away from here on a Saturday night, but.
Well, you're not getting away this Saturday night because they're racing in Bristol. And
exactly.
You're going to be, they'll be racing. Is that Saturday night or Saturday?
Saturday.
Now, I know they're racing Saturday night, too, because they've got late models and everything else going on up there that night.
I haven't gotten the schedule yet.
25, 50, and 100 tickets, basically $1 a piece. Make sure you call Joe Lewandowski out at the New Smyrna Speedway at 386-427-4129. Speaking of New Smyrna Speedway, I'm going to give you some of the results. They had, as Joe said, they started the racing at 7:36. They advertised the program to start by 9:45. On your way home, get tucked in, have a good night's sleep, get up and go to church the next morning, and enjoy the rest of your Sunday. And ordinarily, the regular price for the New Smyrna Speedway is $10. Kids that are 11 under are always free. It's a great family entertainment place. Good time. I don't know that you're going to make it an every week event, but I think you could. When you figure out what it costs to take you and your family to a movie, it's a pretty good value here. Anyway, New Smyrna Speedway, they ran the mini stocks. I'm going to read every name because everybody that was out there deserves some credit. Ted Vulpius. Was the winner in the number 71. I've been racing with Ted for a long time. I can't tell you how many features he's won.
You know what? Hold on. Let me put you on hold.
You can put me. Okay. What are you doing? Your mic's open, and so you told the whole world to put him on hold. What do we do? Who's on hold?
We got Jean back on the line. She wants to ask you a question.
Okay. Let her ask me a question.
Jean, you there?
Not yet. You got the light lit. There you go. Hello, Jean.
Yeah.
What's your question?
Is there any discount for us old bags that want to go up to the racetrack?
You know, I think at one time they did have a senior citizen rate, and I don't remember, though, if... I'll ask the question. I don't know if they still have one or not.
Just out of curiosity. I might get ambitious and walk out one night this summer.
I will find out the answer to that question.
And
I'll
do that
next week, okay?
Okay, hon.
All right, thank you. All right.
You're welcome, buddy.
Bye-bye. Ted Vulpius was the winner in the mini stocks. He drives the number 71, followed by Todd Haught in the 09, Mark Brote, 6, Buddy Sizemore in the number 3, Jesse Powers in the 32. Another name that's been out there forever, Ray Pug Puglisi in the 11, Mike Morosky, Jefferson Pitsley, and then Cody Blair in the 81, for some reason did not start. The Strictly Stock features, Jerry Spears was the winner, Brent Bruner, Corey Trombley, Cody Whitley, Corey Vess, I'm going to blow this one, Vesseri, I believe, Teresa Trombley, Robert Pence, Keith Merritt, Dustin Higdon, and Joshua Stilwell. That was the top 10 in the Strictly Stocks. Super Late Models, you'll know this name, you've heard us talk about him a lot, David Rogers, followed by Rusty Ebersol, Mike Finn, Scotty Bramlett, Bob Green and Greg Skida must have had a mechanical problem, did not start. The Superstocks, Scott Smith, David Russell, John Hodge, Richard Goodrich, Mike Dom, Gino Smith, Eric Kotwitz, Bob Trombley, Buddy Holly. Bobby Holly, I wonder how many times that's happened to him. Bobby Holly also had some mechanicals and didn't start. In the Taylor Racing Products Pro Trucks. We're going to talk to Rick Taylor here one night on our program. He's the sponsor. He has all kinds of different racing products, and he's picked up the sponsorship of the Pro Trucks. Young Ben Kennedy from here in Daytona Beach, the winner in the number 96. Anthony Sergi, Jim Campbell, Marty Wolf, Logan Bordeaux, Zachary Gerald, Bruce Bennett, Thomas Warnick, Robert Strader, Colby Clements, Zach Donati, Jason Rosarius, and Cody Blair ended up being DQ'd. This was a really a hotly contested race. One of the things that's changed at New Smyrna Speedway this year is there are double-file restarts. From a fan standpoint, I'm sure you love it. From a driver standpoint, we hate it. This is why. The guy on the outside pole here, Cody Blair, they went down into turn one and they had a Talladega, a New Smyrna version of a Talladega wreck. They get into the pits afterwards. There's a little extracurricular activity, and Cody Blair gets DQ'd. And from what I understand, the whole scenario is under review, and there may be some other penalties forthcoming. Nobody got arrested. Nobody got hurt. But there was a little bit of tempers that flared there. Same thing. At the Orlando Speed World, late models Alex Fenton. Alexis Fenton is a young lady. I'm guessing she's probably in her late teens or very barely 20. I'm not 100% sure, but I believe this is her first feature win in the number 11, followed by another lady who I raced with. I've raced with both these young ladies, actually. Cynthia Straley in the number 4. J.W. Douglas in number 6, David Meyer and John Hannon. The top 5 in the modifieds, Earl Beckner in number 51, Ted Head in 92, Matthew Wheeler, Mark Emberson, and Bill Gunn. By the way, there were 13 cars in that division, so it was a lot of race cars. The sportsman winner was Andy Nichols, followed by Jason Foster, Eddie St. Angelo, Rex Hollinger, and Steve Ferris. Strictly Stocks, Tim Walters, Bill Loomis, Ricky Solomon Jr., Jesse Cuddy, and Tom Rose. That's the top 5. And in the Superstock division, Billy Cuddy, Justin Reynolds, David Gould, James Frisbee, and Denny Johns. A couple other notes. We'll just throw this out there. The tire carrier from the number 47 last week in Atlanta. Obviously, if you were watching the race, you saw him run out in the racetrack in the infield to retrieve a tire. NASCAR really had no choice, in my opinion, but to throw the caution for safety reasons. They did it. The guy serves a suspension for the rest of the race. I think without question the appropriate act. However, the next week, Tuesday comes around, they suspend this guy for 4 races. And I have to tell you, I believe NASCAR does a great job. By and large, I believe they're right on the money. But I have no idea what is going to be served except to cost the team more money to penalize this guy 4 races. There is no doubt in my mind that he realizes that he had a deer in the headlights kind of moment. He made a mistake. He knows he made a mistake. I'm sure he'd never do it again, and 4 races is completely out of the question, in my opinion. Race car drivers have done far worse with race cars that could have gotten themselves and others hurt, and for this guy to serve this kind of penalty, I don't get it. I think it's wrong. I wish they'd appeal it, and it should be overturned in review, in my opinion. Well, we've gone all the way down to 15 seconds. Encourage you to go to your local short track, Volusia Speedway Park, Orlando Speed World, or New Smyrna Speedway this Saturday night, and when you do, you come back here and listen to us on Monday night. We'll talk about it, and we'll certainly talk about what went on at Bristol this weekend in NASCAR. Good night, everybody.